Welcome back to The Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm your host, Dayton Rumbold, and you're listening to episode 128, I Resolve, Living Purpose-Driven in 2025. Have you ever thought to yourself, if only I was more disciplined? Chris Chaney inspires us to go after our goals using lasting motivation. To hear more about how Chris stays purpose-driven, tune in to our featured exchange. Chris Chaney with us today in the studio.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
The traveling musician, the preacher man, Chris Chaney, is here to talk with us about sticking with your habits, going for your goals, and starting off the new year purpose-driven. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Nussbaum. Good morning, wherever you are. It is a great day to be alive. And thank you, Dayton, for having me on this episode, this first episode of the year. Can you believe, man, January is almost over?
It's crazy.
I'm telling you, but it is great to be alive. So thank you again.
Yeah, we're halfway here. And is it really the time to start talking about this? But when do you stop saying Happy New Year? When's it too late to say that?
Never too late.
So I can, in September, if I've seen the person for the first time, I can say Happy New Year.
That's right.
Okay.
They may look at you funny.
They might look at me funny.
But it's okay.
But it's all right.
That's right.
Okay. So help us get to know you a little bit better, Chris. And you've been at Nussbaum for a while. You used to be a driver. Now you're a driver relations manager, mm-hmm. So helping manage the driver managers. Mm-hmm. Give us some insight into your work life and also your life at home. I mentioned you preach, mm-hmm. and you're very involved in your church, and you love music. So give us a little bit of insight into who Chris Chaney is.
Yes, thank you. So, wow, I started here with Nussbaum. I started driving in 1995 with Schneider National over the road. And so I did that, and then I came home, and I drove local. I went from local to running for Sigma Network for 13 and a half years, lumping grocery, running refrigerated. And then I decided to buy a truck and became an owner-operator. Hmm. And then I saw this place called Nussbaum, and I would drive past her going to Edgerton, Wisconsin, and to drop off bananas, actually. And
wow.
I saw this place being built, had no clue what this place was about. I just saw trucks. I was like, huh, interesting. And so I decided to sell my truck and drive again. Mm-hmm. So I came and drive for a company, that is. So I came and drove for us for 14 months, and then this awesome opportunity to come in as a driver manager presented itself, and through prayer and conversing with my wife and my family, we decided, hey, this is a good move. Hmm. So I come in here as a driver manager, and then another awesome opportunity of becoming a driver relations manager, which I knew nothing about, of course. And I decided, after prayer and conversing with my family, this was the move to make. And so I've been here now a little bit over 10 years, and it's been a great experience. Mm. Outside of the work here, of course, we talk about it. I'm a musician. I play organ. I prefer the Hammond B3. I play piano. I love classical music. Mm. I play drums, started playing drums around 3 years old. I play bass guitar as well, because I love bass. I mean, bass and drums go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And then I'm learning how to play guitar better. It's just everything I do is self-taught. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I love the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. I minister the Word of God. I try to live the Word of God. Mm. It's my passion to reach people through the Word.
And what gets you up in the morning.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it gets you out of bed.
Exactly. And so I do that in my local church here. I teach Sunday school. For a month at a time. Mm. So this is my month. I'm in the month of January. And so I'm teaching this month on miracles. Mm. And so there are lessons prepared for miracles. And then I you know, whenever a musician is needed, I'm there. I'm on the ministry team, so wherever I'm needed, that's where I am. So
that's cool.
I love it.
And for those that are not musically inclined, you said you play the organ in Hammond B3.
Yes.
What is that?
So there are all kinds of organs. There are A's, there are B's, there are C's. The Hammond B3 is the greatest organ that Hammond has made. They use it mostly in the gospel, but in jazz. Mm. So it's the organ of organs.
Okay.
It's just a well-built, well-tuned instrument.
Okay, and your church has...
Don't have the B3. We don't have the B3. I've been around several B3s. They're harder to find.
Yeah.
But we have a really good organ. We are looking for a B3, though.
Cool.
It's a different sound. It's everything about it's well done.
So then you grew up local to Bloomington, or were you... So
my life has been, I've been all over the place, between Texas, Louisiana, and here. And so just in my childhood, moved around a bit. I was raised by my grandfather, who I call my dad. And I've got a little bit of country, some a little bit of, I won't even call this a city because this is still country to me, but
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then you also drove bananas, which I think is... somewhat unique.
Yeah, so I would haul bananas for Save-A-Lot through Super Value, which is now I think it's called UNSFI, and so I would just take refrigerated loads to different places, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, so when you were driving at the time too, you were preaching at your church.
Yes.
You would give messages. Mm-hmm. Were you the only pastor there, or how did that work out? Like,
I was not. I would be kind of as on, you know, as needed, if you will. You know, we had a main pastor, a senior pastor who did everything. And so when he was not available, perhaps he was on an assignment or something like that, I would step in.
Yeah.
But I did do a 2-year stint as what was considered an associate pastor, but I then became the lead pastor of a church for 2 years.
Okay. So I just get this picture of Chris during that time. Like, he's driving a truck, he's thinking, you know, meditating on the Word of God, and then, like, throughout the whole week, and then he gives a sermon on Sunday. So I get this image of you. So I have this question. If you had one sermon to preach, what would it be? Like, what would you do it on? Like, just something that... your go-to message.
My go-to message is Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. The Lord is would be my sermon. The Lord is.
Mm. And you got that memorized.
Yes, sir.
On lock.
Yes, sir.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's awesome. I did not expect to hear Psalm 23 recited here this morning, but I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
So the topic at hand is going for your goals, setting goals, and over 38% of adults in America set resolutions each year. 59% are young adults, so most people between ages of 18 and 34 are setting some type of goal or resolution, but resolutions don't tend to last long.
Mm-hmm.
23% of people quit within the first week, and then 36 make it past the first month, and 9% of people keep it forever or year long. So those numbers aren't great, and so I would be curious today, we're going to talk about what type of things do you have in place in your life, Chris, to set good systems and habits. And it's not just, doesn't have to be just a New Year's thing, doesn't have to be a January thing, but it is a year-round type of activity on how to make yourself better. So could you give us a little bit of insight into what your planning is for your own life. What type of things do you set in place as you begin the new year, or in general, prepare for this year? What do you do?
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned how resolutions fall off, and I look at resolutions sometime as the new car smell. And when we get a new car, it's fresh, it's new, it's great, and we take a first few months, if you will, sometimes to make sure it's all good. And but at some point, something happens, and we just lose that. Mm-hmm. Well, I try to set realistic goals, things that are within my reach, but also some loftier things that I know the Lord is going to have to help me with. And so I'll use an example here. I start my year in December. I start by fasting and prayer. That allows me to empty out me, right? And then I can then receive what the Lord has for me for the coming year. So that's really, really important to me for at least 21 days to spend that time. Mm-hmm. If I had my way about it, I would seclude myself for those 21 days and just be alone with life that can't happen. Yeah. So I have to come up with ways to better that. So.
It's hard to take 21 days off of work.
It is. Yeah. So I'll find myself doing more of seclusion, if you will. I mean, yeah. I still have my wife. I still have, it's just my wife and I, we empty nesters, so we still have each other, and she understands that, and oftentimes she joins in with me. So
some time of solitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's important to me because I want to be intentional about living a godly life. I want to be intentional about that. And so the way that I know how to do it is to get rid of Chris, if you will. And I know that may sound weird, right, coming from this, but I want Chris to be everything that the Lord has for him to be moving forward, right? Yeah. And so I'll go through that. And then I'll look at, like, habits.
Yeah. And I want to say, it seems like that's a good way to start off with a blank slate, because I wanted to ask, how do you know what to focus on? How do you know what things that you should be doing? There's a quote that you can climb up the ladder, but then you realize at the top of it, you've climbed the wrong ladder. And I think this is a question I wrote on there. So when you're trying to get rid of yourself, like, not, you know, not make it about myself, start with a blank slate, like you said, get rid of Chris. How do you know you're going up the right ladder? How do you know you're setting the right goals and right things in life?
Well, what I do is I form a list. And after I form that list, I present that list to God and say, God, here's my list. Now, number two, and this is fun, I also present a list to my wife. So she, I just like I allow God to rearrange that list, I often allow her to rearrange the list, because she'll see things in me that I don't see in myself. And so I go that route, and sometimes her answer comes before God's answer, but usually those two are really, really close. And what that tells me is that she's watching me, so to speak, and he's watching me. So,
yeah, that's really good. And you need that accountability with each other.
Yes, she is my accountability partner.
Which helps a lot. You need someone to ask you in April, how's it going? How are you keeping up with that?
Or to even stop me.
Yeah.
When she sees I'm going opposite of what I've already presented.
Yeah, yeah. That is cool. And you need some type of accountability. So to start, we have a list of steps here. You said the first thing you do is get rid of Chris. And the next thing you do is you set habits, or you set goals.
Right. So I get rid of Chris, and then I say, God, okay, here are the things that I want to accomplish the next year. However, I'm leaving myself open, because you may have some uncharted territory that I'm not thinking about. And so I look up, there are these nine habits here that I look at. Compassion, patience, humbleness, joy, honesty, being considerate, forgiving, and self-control. And when I look those up, It leads me to something that we talked about in a classroom setting here at Nussbaum, big rocks, little rocks. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it allows me, and what it tells me is that everyone has a different area of importance. Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to meet people where they are using these habits. Mm.
Could you explain the big rock, little rock?
Yeah, so there are times when I deem things as unimportant. Or those things that I can put on the back burner. But yeah, let's use my wife for an example. She may say, hey, no, that needs to be on the front burner. And here is why. Mm. So I can prioritize things wrongly.
Mm. Yeah, no, I see that. I see that in myself a lot of time, too. I will get in the habit of if there's anything there, any rock, I'll just start working on it. Mm-hmm. So it's good to, at the beginning of the day, look at what is the biggest thing that if I ended today, what would make today a success? And that's your big rock for the day.
Right.
The thing you want to work on.
Exactly.
Cool. Awesome. So you look at these different areas, mm-hmm. and that gives you an idea of where to focus
and where to focus
on. Can you give some examples of what those may look like?
Yeah. So I've been trying to focus more. I use example of my wife, being that we're empty nesters, mm-hmm. I have worked and taken care of my family and worked and take care of my family. And so what I have done over the years is I've kind of not pushed her to the side, but not really taken the time to understand her heart and what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And so now that we're empty nesters, it's being more intentional about, hey, we need to do things together. Mm. So we planned, just use an example, in that we planned a trip. Mm-hmm. We've planned a cruise this year in April.
Where to?
South America,
fun.
Down there.
Fun.
Yeah, she planned the cruise. I let her do all the legwork on it.
That sounds great.
But what was interesting is we decided on a whim, let's take a train from Chicago to Miami, Florida.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to leave a few days earlier. We're going to take a train, and we're going to spend some time on a train together. She's never been on a train, so this will be a good experience for us.
Wow.
So we're going to take a train down, then we'll take a cruise, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to drive from Miami to Houston. Mm. So go back to home base and see some family, and she's never been there. So, hey, let's go do that. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take a train from Houston back here. Mm-hmm. So this will take about 2.5 weeks. I'm going to take off roughly. And this is something that is geared more towards us. Mm-hmm. Us. As I'm trying to broaden greater my relationship with Christ, I also want to greater my relationship with my wife, mm-hmm. and my children and my grandchildren. So these are just steps in that area.
Yeah. That's great. And to consider the different areas of your life, we all have different things that we're a part of.
Right.
Like you said, your spouse, mm-hmm. and you have, being a parent, mm-hmm. you have being a manager. I mean, mm-hmm. that's part of your role, your work role, mm-hmm. Physical life, spiritual life at church. So that helps us kind of form these different areas to come up with what should I focus in? And you can start to think, spiritual, physical, vocational, to think about it in these different areas.
Right. And that's where my morning starts. My morning starts with prayer, meditation, and reading. Mm-hmm. That's where in my opinion, and of course in my life, I cannot function unless I get direction. Mm. And what I mean by that, yes, I can get up and feed myself, I can dress myself and things like that. But I want to know, Lord, what is your plan for the day? Mm-hmm. And so I consider that when I go and talk to him early in the morning, how my day should go. And I will tell you, I have found great success when I do that.
Mm. Yeah. Like we said, going up the right ladder, mm-hmm. and that just helps remind you that, okay, this isn't about this own ladder that I want to climb or whatever's the most shiny or interesting thing, but to go up the ladder that God has.
Right. And I will be transparent to say that going up that right ladder does not mean it's easy.
Sure.
And we can say, well, like if the Lord provided a ladder, then it should be easy. But no, that's not always true. And I've gone up some rungs of the ladder and slipped. Hmm. And went back down a few steps,
yeah,
and had to regroup and then work my way back up. So it's great that he has enough mercy and grace on me to allow me to do that.
Yeah. So we set these goals. And, for example, for myself this year, I wanted to be outside more. So I set this goal. And I took a poll around the office to see what are some of the other goals that people have. And these are a couple examples of different goals we have around the office. Jared says, do the same thing I did last year. So I feel you, Jared. Do the same thing I did last year.
Yes.
We also have Angie is wanting to read one book a week. Sydney would like to learn Korean, which is super awesome. Mm-hmm. CJ talking about sorting through his emails. Mm-hmm. And Greta's doing the Bible recap. Peg is doing a Bible in a year. Toby says, buy no clothes in 2025. So if you see Toby, you can ask him how that's going.
So, I really respect what I've heard there. I was talking to Drew and Scott this morning, and I always read through the Bible every year. Mm. And last year I read through the Bible in, I think it was 40 or 41 days. Mm-hmm. And so my goal this year is to read the Bible four times this year, the complete Bible. Wow. I want to read through it each quarter.
Wow.
Now, I know that's going to be a lot of work. In my head, I want to give God 10% of my day, two hours and 40 minutes. And so if I can do that with reading, early morning, late evening, that kind of thing, I want to be able to do so.
That's awesome. That's like 16 chapters a day. That's crazy.
it's just something that's in my head, and it's a goal. And and so in this, what if I fail one day? I'm okay because I'm still working towards something. I'm intentional about doing that.
Yes.
And I had looked up I want to read a book a month, like a sizable book, other than my studying, you know, on some matter, some subject matter that I'm not familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another goal.
I like that. And reading the Bible four times in a year, I've never heard that before. That is exceptional. Philip Martin also said he wants to read a chapter a day for each month for a year from the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
So, that's cool, getting that wisdom from the Proverbs and having a way to do that. So sometimes we set a goal and we need to have a way in order to get that goal done. So when you set a goal, it has to be like measurable, right? That does help to know that, like, okay, here's how you know if you're going to achieve it or not. So by the end of the year, you can see if you've done it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we set these goals. How do we make them stick? How do we keep up with it, and what are some tips and tricks that you might have for actually achieving these things?
Well, one is, so I'll let my wife know what those goals are so she can keep me, you know, hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. One of the words of ARC comes out from my church is accountable, responsible, and committed. Mm. And so when I look at that, so with reading the Bible, there are so many apps out there, and so there's an app that tracks your progression. Mm. And so if you fail, it will say you're not on track.
Mm.
And as long as I'm seeing that I'm on track, that helps me.
Mm.
Yeah. Know? So.
Yeah, some way that you're being able to track it. And for myself, the different things I want to do, I have an app that I'll just start a timer when I'm doing that thing. So like when I'm outside, I'll start that timer so then I can see like, okay, where am I at? How much time am I actually getting? Because it's easier to think that I'm getting a lot more time than I am.
Right.
So that's great. So accountable, responsible, committed, ARC.
Mm-hmm.
What's the responsible part of that? Is that
responsible to God and His church.
Mm, okay.
And committed. So, accountable to God, responsible to the church, and then the C for committed is just being committed to committed to serve in excellence.
I like that. And something I asked Toby, why no clothes in 2025? Like, why no buying clothes? He's going to wear clothes. Oh, boy. He's buying clothes. He said he's not going to do that in 2025. Why is that the goal? He said, because we set such big goals. Mm-hmm. We have these huge goals, which it's great that you're reading the Bible four times mm-hmm. in a year, or that's the goal. Mm-hmm. It's for me, that's really difficult. And for, I think, most people, that'd be really difficult. So setting a way that it's a manageable way, and for Toby, it's like, okay, this was a very, all I have to do is say no to something instead of adding a new routine. And he said, do you know how much time it takes to do certain things in your life? And it looks like you've already counted the cost. Mm-hmm. You said, I have 2 hours and 16 minutes.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
And 40 minutes. Yeah. So you already have this idea of how much time it takes, but a lot of times goals fail. Most goals stop by February, is we don't realize the cost of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So if we can set a more manageable thing that it's only a 1% change, then it's easier to get those goals.
Well, think about it, Dayton. We set time mm-hmm. for everything, right?
Yeah.
We know, so we'll use an example. We know the ball game is coming on, whatever type of game it is. We know that a game lasts for X amount of time. We block things out of our schedule to focus on that game. Mm-hmm. And so it's not unrealistic to set it, but it will require some accountability on one's behalf. Mm-hmm. So there can be a time or two where I don't get my reading done for the day and I may have to double up tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? That's not necessarily punishment, but those things can happen. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be realistic about the goals that I set, mm-hmm. Knowing that something can happen mm-hmm. to shift that. But more than that, and when I was looking at the goals that ones are setting, mm-hmm. My prayer is that everyone reaches that goal, mm-hmm. Because there is that sense of accomplishment once mm-hmm. it's done. Mm-hmm. And so I may set a lofty goal, and one may say, man, that is ridiculous. But for me, I gain a lot of interest and I can get steam in yes. doing that. And so yeah. one may say, hey, Chris, why do you want to, are you just reading the Bible to read it? I was talking about earlier about, not in here, but the Book of Eli, mm-hmm. The movie. Mm-hmm. And I just thought about, like, having the word in my heart, mm-hmm. in my memory bank, so that anything that I come up against, there is a scripture that speaks to that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I set these things to really, like, my relationship with Christ is so important.
Yeah.
That I want to soak up everything I can soak up. Mm. And let me also add to that is, that is not me soaking up for me. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you this earlier, I wasn't put on this earth for me. I was put on this earth for someone else, mm. to help someone else, gain a relationship with Christ, mm. gain a relationship with their parents, their children, whatever that looks like, their loved ones. I want to be an instrument that Christ uses to help accomplish that.
Yeah, yeah. That certainly is a flip on perspective, to wake up and think that I'm not here for me, mm-hmm. because that's where the gut goes. The
right.
you know, the flesh right. is like, okay, it's all about me. How can I make my day the best? Mm-hmm. And but think about it in a other people perspective. How can I help this person have a great day?
Right.
And be the best, you know, father, husband, boss that I can be.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's cool. So, is there any other things that help you reach these goals? You mentioned tracking, accountability, setting the right goals. Anything else in those perspectives or tips for overall effectiveness, how you remain sharp? And
I do surround myself with brothers. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, we have a men's ministry at our church, and there's a particular associate pastor that I communicate a lot mm-hmm. with, and basically he and I both lost our dads, mm. and so we kind of lean on each other just in a way of, brother, when you get weak, I'm here. And so it's good to have that. And so he'll say, hey, how are things coming along with your goals or something you set out to do?
Yeah.
Right. And I'll say, hey, how are things coming along? So we kind of outside of that, he's just another person that I believe the Lord has put in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
To help me reach a certain goal.
Yeah. And helps you mentioned building up steam, mm-hmm. and like knocking those things off. And I'm sure that he's someone that's motivating you. It's like, right. Hey, like
you can do it. Yes.
Nice job.
Yes.
And it's really rewarding when you feel that and you actually, you know, you're able to do more stuff when that happens.
Right. Exactly.
So it's important to build that network and to build that accountability. So I like that. Another one I put on here that helps with overall effectiveness is setting some type of system to do something. So let's say my goal is to have a clean room. Well, I clean it one day and then it gets dirty the next. So like I had the system in place is leading the room to get messy. So a goal is the result of what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
A system is the process in which you do something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can change the process, then the goals will change themselves. So focusing on the system. So the system in place would be, I'm not going to set dirty clothes down in the room. I'm going to set them in the hamper.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about when you have a goal, how can I switch it from to be a goal, the outcome, to be what is the process in place? What is the habit I can do in order to grow this thing? So the goal to read the Bible 4 times in a year,
mm-hmm.
breaks down to be I will read the Bible 16 chapters a day, or, you know, in whatever way you're going to do that during this time, making it as specific as you can, mm-hmm. to help you get through that goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it, again, it's not to say I did it. It's to see what I have received from it.
Mm.
And that's different because sometimes we do things just to say we did it.
Mm.
But I think there's a greater meaning when we get something from it.
Yeah.
So you were talking about the room. They're talking about the clothes, for
right.
an example, right?
Yeah.
You know, it can create a healthier lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
if you don't just put the clothes there, but in one area you put them in a hamper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can lead to some other things.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you mentioned motivation, and you need a lasting motivation in order to get these things done. Because
mm-hmm.
if the motivation is not strong, then it'll fizzle out after a while. You have to have a conviction for why you're doing this. And James Clear in the book Atomic Habits, he talks about creating an identity based on what you're doing. So I am doing this because I'm a clean person.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put the clothes away into the hamper, I'm reinforcing this idea that I am a clean person. Even if I'm not, when I do that activity, I am doing the activity of a clean person.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, building healthy lifestyles, like when you go to work out, like I'm reinforcing the idea that I'm a healthy person. And despite whatever the case is, and that's why I think it's cool. You need a lasting motivation in order to keep doing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and to keep it up.
You talk motivation. I could be motivated by certainly a lot of things, but what really motivates me is Jesus.
Mm.
It's his walk. It's everything he did on this earth. I'm motivated. In my head is, if he did it, I can do it.
Hmm.
Right?
He cleared the way.
Right. And so there should be nothing that's, there is nothing impossible to them that believe.
Hmm.
Right? And so, and I'm also motivated by my family.
Hmm.
I'm motivated by my wife, you know, my wife who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, in 2001, hmm. and has dealt with that to this point.
Hmm.
And I'm motivated by how she, though she has her ups and her downs, she's still moving. She's mm-hmm. just determined,
hmm.
right? Well, her determination motivates me.
Hmm.
in other ways, yeah, right? Yeah. And then in our children, and of my example of my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's studying to get her master's degree at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Mm-hmm. And so she was working for a nonprofit, and the nonprofit got sold. Mm-hmm. She lost her job right before the end of the year. And she could easily just pack up and come home. Easy. But she's like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to keep going, and something's going. Number one, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep moving forward. And whatever he has for me is going to take place. And that motivated me to just, hey, you know what? If this 23-year-old young lady could do that, then a 50-year-old guy as myself can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. And I like how you can pick out different qualities in other people and say, like, this person is doing this really well. I want to be like that person in that way.
Right.
And I think you can use other people as those type of motivation and people to look to and be like, I want to be like Chris. Like, I want to, you know, walk like Chris or whatever it is.
I can see the Christ in them, and that's the Christ in them. That's the hope of glory.
Yeah.
And so that just, I mean, it ignites me when I'm able to see things like that. And out of other individuals, you know, I pick up on the small things, and I think the small things, we can often look for these big epic moments.
Sure, yeah.
But an epic moment to me is a small thing. So, yeah.
And not epic moments, but those tiny, small things are really what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, just working towards that small, those small moments, recognizing those in other people. Anything that we haven't covered in your outline there?
No, I think we've covered done a good job here.
And then this last thing we'll talk about, and then we'll get to any questions you have and anniversaries, is when you look at the things you've done in the past, and we've said failure happens, we have failure in our life. How have you struggled to establish good habits yourself? And I think we can learn from these mistakes, too.
Yeah, I failed at many things, right? And I guess it's not a failure when we learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
So the habit that I've learned here is that is patience, right? So that's one of the nine I was talking about earlier, is if I fail at something, or I have to have patience in the moments of this, right? And I have to forgive. Like, there are times where you have to forgive yourself. And sometimes that is what prevents us from moving forward, is because we don't forgive. We think about forgiving others, but we don't think about forgiving ourselves, right? God, I made a mistake, right? Forgive me. But then, Chris, you made a mistake. Forgive yourself, right? I use this a lot. I says, at 11:59, 23:59 today, you cannot go back and change anything. It's been settled. But when quad zero or midnight comes, you have the opportunity to start again. So forgive yourself from today, but look forward to tomorrow.
And I like forgiveness, to realize that when I've messed up, there's never too far away reach, that I'm too far gone, that he can't come and get me.
Right.
And that God still loves us no matter how far away or how much we mess up. And that's reassuring when it comes to relationships and to our goals that we have, that there is a new day and that we can pursue these things and go for our goals.
Well, insert the prodigal son.
Yeah.
If I can insert that, that part in. And so just looking at the story of the prodigal son, right? When you return home, God has his arms open for you. It's never like he ever closed his arms anyway. We just saw that. We just saw a different side of, we saw where we were rather than where we need to go. Mm. And so when we turn from and turn to, his arms are stretched out. Mm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's running towards us. That image of him running towards us that he's so passionate about mm-hmm. receiving us. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit of insight into your life and how you set goals and how you manage your time and how you decide if you're going up the right ladder or not. And some things to think about, too, is like, do we have accountability? Am I emptying myself? Am mm-hmm. I setting clear habits and systems in place focused on compassion, patience, joy? These things I really want to work on. So.
And Dayton, lastly, I'll say, I don't have this all figured out. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, Chris Chaney does not have this all figured out. This is a day-by-day process in which I go before the Lord. And I say, Lord, here is my petition before you. And I just move forward. And so there are going to be some days where at the end of the day, I feel like I haven't accomplished the thing that I set out to do. And that's okay, because tomorrow is coming. And as long as I don't get into the habit of this every day, then there's still forward progress, right? We've heard that Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, nothing in our life is going to be done in one day. Mm. And so I just want, you know, those who are listening to understand that you're going somewhere. And it may take you longer to get there than you projected to get there. But the thing is, don't stop moving forward. The only way you lose is if you quit.
Amen. Don't underestimate the power of small change. If you improved 1% every day, you'd be 37 times better by the end of the year. And if you got 1% worse each day, you'd be close to nearly 0% of whatever that skill is. So don't underestimate that. Rome wasn't built in a day.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I don't think we'll be able to change our lives in a day or even weeks or years. A lot of these things mm-hmm. take lots of time mm-hmm. to really work on. So giving yourself grace and keep moving forward.
That's it.
I like that.
Hey everyone, this is Caleb from Nussbaum Recruiting, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Hope to talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.